Hey friend, are you struggling to find consistent paid speaking gigs? Do you want to know the exact 6 steps that you can take to find and book more paid speaking opportunities in 2024? Well, we want to make that easy for you. We've created a new free resource with the help of Dan Irvin, one of our highly successful speakers on our team. Dan has booked over $100,000 in paid speaking gigs in the last few years, and his 6-step process is going to help you maximize your chances of getting booked and paid to speak in any industry. You're going to learn how to get started prospecting, master discovery calls and proposal emails, and so much more. All you got to do is go to thespeakerlab.com/steps, and we're going to send you this 18-page guide straight to your inbox. Again, that is thespeakerlab.com/steps, and you're going to get that free guide. Hey, thanks for listening. You're awesome. Hey friends, welcome back to the Speaker Lab podcast. Grant Bolden here. Glad to have you here with us today. Hey, today we're going to be switching it up. We're actually going to be pulling an interview from the vault. We got coming up on 500 episodes here. So we got a lot of good content. If you haven't already, go back, download some of our best of episodes and check some of those out. But today we're going to be chatting with my friend, Rory Vaden. And let me tell you, this is a good one. Rory and I are going to dig into his journey to speaking and how his team helps people up-level their branding, find their uniqueness, and tune into their calling. Rory has really become an expert in helping people develop strong brands. And in this episode, he's going to dig into how you can put these principles into action for your own brand starting today. So if you haven't heard this episode yet, you are missing out. So without further hesitation, let's get right into it. Here's my conversation with Rory Vaden. Enjoy. What's up, friends? Grant Bolden here. Welcome back to the Speaker Lab podcast. Good to have you here with us today. Today, we're chatting with my buddy, Rory Vaden, and I'm going to be talking about all things speaking, but even bigger than speaking, talking about just building a personal brand. And Rory and his team have become experts at that. And so excited to chat with him. Now, Rory, one thing, I don't know if I've told you this before, but actually I was looking for, I was emailing you recently, and I was pulling up your email, just did a quick search, you know, in your inbox. And I think one of the original emails I sent you was like in 2004. Whoa. Was just getting started as a speaker. And I sent you an email. I think just, you know, you email a half a dozen different speakers, just trying to pick people's brains. And like you had a thorough email back, and I'll find it and forward it to you. So you were indirectly super helpful for me early on. And so I appreciate that. And I appreciate you taking a minute to chat with us today.
Man, that's great. I mean, I was just telling you before you hit record, like I'm so proud of you, dude. Like that's maybe a weird thing to say as a colleague, but like, you know, you've done a great job. You're helping people. Like you got a great brand going, and you're, you know, very specific, like solving a specific need in the world. And, you know, anyways, it's great. It's great to see where you're at. And that's our heartbeat, man. I mean, you know, like a lot of people these days know us for some of the like really household names of the kind of people we work with, but like our heartbeat is for that mission-driven messenger, that aspiring person. Cause that's who I was. Like I was 17 years old going like, I feel called to this, but I don't really know what to do or how to do it. And it was just like, there was just no playbook. Like, right. I was like, why are all these secrets and like random bits of information stored in random places? So anyways, it's great to be here, man.
Yeah. Thanks, man. Well, and I felt the same way early on of just, if we go back 15, 16, 17 years ago, like there wasn't books and podcasts and resources on specifically for speakers on how do you find gigs and how much do you charge and who do you speak to? And like, how does this mysterious world work? And so, yeah. You know, especially I know I felt like this early on that, and I know you started super young as well, where oftentimes we were the youngest people in the room and there were audiences that you're speaking to were like, man, these people could be my parents, you know, like what do I have to bring to the table? So real quick, give us a quick snapshot of like, how did you get into speaking and what's kind of been your speaking journey over the past several years?
Oh yeah. Well, so I was raised by a single mom who sold Mary Kay Cosmetics, which means that I grew up learning the principles of personal development and success from the time that I was like a little kid.
Yeah.
It also means I know more about makeup than I do about cars, which is a true story. But I grew up around, you know, personal development there. And then when I was in college, I went door to door. I was in a direct sales company and I went door to door for 5 years and 14 hours a day, 6 days a week, straight commission, paying all my own expenses. And I they had these national events every year where like the top student got to speak. And so that was my whole motivation, was like, I became one of the all time record holders just because I wanted to get invited to speak in front of like a few hundred people. And so I did that. And then, at one of those conventions, there was a gentleman who came out on stage. His name was Eric Chester. Mm-hmm. And Eric is a Hall of Fame speaker. He's a CSP Hall of Famer. And he mentioned in his speech, I was recruiting students. I was going to the University of Denver, so DU, Dollars Unlimited, as I like to call it. So I'm at DU, and then I was recruiting though at CU Boulder, which was like 40 minutes up the road. And in his speech, Eric mentioned he had a son that went to CU Boulder. And so I went up to him and I said, Eric, man, like, that was an amazing speech. One day I want to do what you do, because it was funny and it was insightful. And I was like, but right now I need your son's phone number, because I'm going to recruit him and he's going to come do this program.
That's awesome.
And so he gave me his phone number, his son, Zach. And that happened. And I recruited Zach, and basically the deal Eric made was, if you personally mentor my son in this program and make sure nothing bad happens to him when you guys are out there, like doing this crazy job, then when you graduate, I'll personally mentor you.
Wow.
And so this happened. So we went, so that went on for a couple of years, and then I finished graduate school, and I finished undergrad, and I'm meeting with Eric Chester. So true to his word, he's like, all right, let's have a meeting. And he said this, he goes, Rory, I don't play well with others, and I never have had very many mentors, because I'm annoyed by people who ask for my advice and don't follow it. And he said, if I'm going to spend time on you, you have to agree right now that you will 100% do everything that I say. And he's like 6'6", I mean, 250 pounds, like he bodybuilder. Like he was like, you know, here I am, like pretty boy, mama's boy, you know, Mary Kay boy. And so I was like, yes, sir, Mr. You know, sir, yes, sir, Mr. Chester, like I will do it. You tell me, you give me order, I will execute. You tell me what to do. And he goes, great. He said, first lesson, the single greatest difference, the number one difference between a good speaker and a great speaker is 1,000 presentations. And he said, I want you to go out and give 1,000 presentations. After you have given 1,000 presentations, come back and I will tell you step two. And I was like, I said, well, okay, I'll do it. But like, where do you go? Like,
yeah.
And I'm like, I'm trying to go. It's more of like what you do. Like, how do you get the gig? And like, and he's like, go speak for free wherever you can, schools. And then he told me about Toastmasters. And so I joined Toastmasters, and they had this contest called the World Championship of Public Speaking. Mm-hmm. And there's 25,000 people who can, compete from 90 different countries. And so I spoke 304 times for free in 18 months. I read dozens of books. I spent thousands of dollars on coaching, and I made it to the world championship. I was in the top 10 speakers in the world, and I lost. But then in 2007, I made it back. I was 24 years old, and I studied harder, got more coaching, and made it back to the world championship. And in 2007, that was the year that I I lost again, actually, but I lost higher. I was the world champion of public speaking, first runner up. And that was kind of like how I thought I would launch my speaking career. And, then that's 2007. Fast forward today, Eric Chester, 2 years ago, I became the youngest American in history to be inducted into the Professional Speakers Hall of Fame by Eric. He inducted me into the Hall of Fame. And I have to tell you, Grant, I still am super excited to hear what step two is. I can't
eventually,
wait.
Eventually he'll get around to it. Now, one thing I'm curious about, just as a total side trail here, is do you still recommend Toastmasters as a good option for speakers, especially early on, looking for reps and at-bats?
Definitely. And new bits, right? New things to practice on, right? Like, here's the thing. Toastmasters is not really for professional speakers. It's just for people who want to be better at speaking, but it's the only place that, I mean, it's the easiest, fastest, most encouraging place that you can go to immediately get stage time for free, right? Like, and get quality people and real coaching and instruction and feedback and practice. And so my advice to people is stay in Toastmasters as long as you can, until you're speaking so much that you're getting that stage time in other places. Like until you're getting stage time weekly from other like paying gigs and engagements and things, then it's like, you should be in Toastmasters. Like, you know, that's, so I definitely recommend that. And it was, you know, Toastmasters changed my life. So here's the other part of that story. So after Toastmasters, I was at a National Speakers Association convention, which I'm still emphatically recommend. I still go to NSA. That's where I saw you. That's where you and I just recently reconnected. So I still go to NSA meetings. But you know, to Toastmasters and NSA, it's like no brainer. Like if you want to be in this space, like you gotta go there. But anyways, I was at this NSA meeting, and it was right after the World Championship of Public Speaking. So I'm there. And I'm sitting in the cafeteria, like the, you know, the big open buffet hall, and there's thousands of people. I don't really know anybody. I'm sitting at this table all by myself. And this guy walks up to me and he goes, "Is anybody sitting here?" And I said, "No, by all means." And he goes, "You're Rory Vaden, aren't you?" I said, "Yes, sir, I am." He goes, "I heard about you. You're the Toastmaster kid." I said, "Yes." I said, "Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I am." I said, that's me. And he said, "That was pretty impressive." And I said, "Well, thank you." I said, "Have we met? I'm sorry. I don't know who you are." And he reaches out and he says, "My name is Zig Ziglar." And Zig Ziglar straight up cold walked up and introduced himself to me at an NSA meeting, just walking around the halls. Amazing. Sat next to me, the redhead Jean, his wife, he calls her redhead. Yep. If any of you are Zig Ziglar fans, Jean is there. She sits there too. And we hang out for like 2.5-3 hours just talking. And he says, "I'd like to mentor you. If you're interested," he's like, "I'd like to mentor you." And so Zig Ziglar personally mentored me. So it was sort of like almost like a baton handoff from Eric to Zig at that point. I traveled with Zig. I would go to, you know, he used to speak at these big Get Motivated events, they were called. And I was backstage and there's Barbara Bush and Colin Powell. And like, I mean, it was nuts. And Zig Ziglar was amazing. And so what we did at that same, around that same time was, you know, I had just left the direct sales company. I finished grad school. I did the World Championship. And then I had a business partner, or I had a guy that I had met going door to door. He was one of the other top producer types. And we said, "We should start a company. We're going to build the greatest sales training company in the world. And we're going to like do huge events." And so me and him, and then he said, "Well, we have to recruit my best friend, Amanda, because I grew up with her. I've copied off her paper my whole life. She got me through school. She's the smartest person I know. And like, we got to have her on our team." And so I was like, "Great." So we recruit her, a couple other people, and we start this company. And what we did was we heard about this business model from that Tom Hopkins was doing, where people would go speak for free. He would send sales reps and they would speak for free, and then they would sell a ticket to come hear Tom Hopkins. So what we were like, "Great, we could do that." So we literally took a Yellow Pages phone book and we ripped it into fourths. And we said, "Okay, you're going to call these people. You're going to call these people. You're going to call these people." And we cold called. So we were in San Jose. So one of our other business partners was in San Jose. He was the only one of us who owned a house. So we went to San Jose, lived like out of his house and apartments. And we're cold calling out of the Yellow Pages every day on local offices, real estate and financial advisors. And we'll say, "Let me come in, do a free 1 hour presentation," speaking for free, which is still the model we teach our clients at Brand Builders today. Like, go speak for free, right? And so we're speaking for free. And then at the end, if we're good, let us sell your people a chance to come to the event, a 1 day big rally. Except what was crazy was there was no Tom Hopkins or any Tony Robbins or anybody famous. The speakers were us. We were the speakers. So it was like, pay money to come here from a bunch of 20-year-olds to learn how to sell. And we did it. We sold like 700 tickets at $300 in 3 months. We generated $250,000 in revenue in 3 months, and we were up and running. And we did that for 5 years. We grew that to a couple million bucks. And then we figured out how to sell coaching. And when we figured out how to sell coaching, everything changed. We grew it to an 8-figure business. We had 200 people. In 2012, my first book, Take the Stairs, comes out, hits number one on the Wall Street Journal, number two on the New York Times. In 2015, I had a TED Talk called How to Multiply Time. It went viral, got like 4.5 million views. Through the course of that, I met a gentleman named Lewis Howes, who had a podcast. He still has a podcast called the School of Greatness Podcast. Well, my PR team had cold pitched Lewis about having me on his show. And Lewis thought I was cool because I was young. I was 29 years old and my book just hit the New York Times and he was young. He's like a year younger than me. And so I was on his podcast, this growing podcast. And then it was like, dude, are you going to launch a book one day? And I was like, hey, like, let me tell you, like, here's what you should do. So I become friends with Lewis. Well, several years go by and in 2018, oh yeah. So here's the other part. That girl, Amanda, a year later, after we start the company, her and I start dating. And then in 2010, we get married. And then, so her and I are married and then we had our first kid, in 2017. And then in 2018, we sold that company. So it was an 8-figure business, 200 people. We sold the company. And when that happened, we lost all of our social media, our podcasts, our email list, you know, 20 years in my case, it had been 20 years of speaking clients.
Right.
And the day that we exited the company, we had no plan. And Lewis Howes calls us and says, hey man, my business has grown a little bit. I know we haven't talked in a while, but I feel like I could use your help on some stuff. Like I need to set a strategy for my brand. And we're like, dude, we're wide open. So Lewis comes to our house right here in Nashville. We spend 2 days with him and he goes, this is the most amazing 2 days I've ever spent on my business. He said, I'm going to tell, this is your new business. This is what you guys need to do. And I'm going to tell the whole world, that they should hire you. And so we went on his podcast, I don't know, a month later. And within a couple weeks, we had 1,000 inbound leads. Lewis became our first client. You know, and today, you know, Ed Milet is a client, Tom and Lisa Billieux are clients. I mean, you know, we've got, you know, a woman named Jen Cohen, who we helped to do a viral TED Talk. And so now we do personal brand strategy. We do one-on-one coaching for personal brands. So speaking for us is a part of it, right? Like you teach the business of speaking. We do as well, but it's a small segment of what we do. Yeah. We're sort of a level up and we go, you know, here's the art of speaking, the business of speaking, podcasting, funnels, creating intellectual property, doing TED Talks, doing book launches. Book launches happens to be one of our specialties. So we had 3 clients hit the hit New York Times last year. We'll have hopefully a couple clients hit Wall Street Journal, New York Times this year. Ed has a chance to hit maybe number one. I mean, I don't know. We'll see. I don't want to jinx anything, but like he's going to have a big launch. And, you know, we worked really closely with him on that. And then also build out their internal sales teams because that was what we did. So anyways, that's the not so short story, but that is 25 years and 5 minutes.
Thanks for sharing all that and walking through that journey. So now with what you do today with Brand Builders Group, you work with people, again, not just speakers, but certainly speaking is a part of that. And I think that's a big challenge for a lot of people who they say, hey, I want to be a speaker, but I also want to have a book or have a podcast or have a course or do coaching or consulting and do all of the things. And, you know, we both understand like you can do all the things, but you can't do all the things at once. Like something's going to come first, something's going to come last. And we both know speakers who do 100 gigs a year and nothing else and are super successful, and speakers who do 10 gigs a year and a whole bunch of other things and are successful. So it's not that necessarily one's better or worse than the other, but helping people really get clarity on like how do all the different pieces of the puzzle fit together for them. So like, what are some of the challenges that you see in working with clients and helping them to narrow down and really determine like where speaking fits into the mix?
Well, yeah. So speaking is a business model. You know, a lot of those things are either business models or their marketing mediums or their content distribution mechanisms. And there's a more fundamental question that we start with and that we really address, which is based on the single best piece of personal branding advice, Grant, that I've ever received was from a guy named Larry Winget. Okay. Larry wasn't really a personal mentor, but like I knew him again from NSA. And Larry said this, and the moment I heard it, I was like, that is so dang brilliant. And this is not a Rory Vaden quote. I wish it was. But he said, the goal is to find your uniqueness and exploit it in the service of others. Find your uniqueness and exploit it in the service of others. And in the moment I heard that, I was like, oh man, like that is it. Find your uniqueness. But Larry wasn't in the business of teaching people how to find their uniqueness. And so when we started Brand Builders Group, and part of this was the conversation started with Lewis, was we intuitively developed this process. We call it the Brand DNA Helix. It's this 6-part framework that we take people through that helps them identify their uniqueness. And what happens is if you can identify your uniqueness, you have a chance to break through the wall. And one of the frameworks that we teach, we call it Sheehan's Wall. We named this after another colleague of ours, Peter Sheehan, who's brilliant, genius. And he kind of explained this concept, like the genesis of this concept. We've adapted a little bit for personal brands. He has more corporate consulting, but is in any industry, in any environment, there's like two groups of people. Okay. So there are those who are unknown, right? They're struggling with obscurity. They're not well known. They're not yet trusted. They're not yet recognized. And then there are those who are well known. They have notoriety. They have trust. They have reach. They have impact. And everybody's trying to break through this wall. There's this invisible barrier, this invisible wall between the two. And what most people do, which is a mistake, and this is what almost everybody does, is they look at all the people on the other side of the wall and they say, well, I'm going to do all those things. And so it's like, I have all these different topics I want to talk about. And, you know, like Gary Vaynerchuk. And Gary Vaynerchuk talks about sports and rap music and NFTs and social media and business and investing and cryptocurrency. And, you know, I'm going to talk about all these different things. Or they go like, I need to have a lot of different business models. And they go, well, The Rock has like a tequila line and a clothing line. And he's an actor. And like, you know, he does, you know, endorsement deals. And, you know, like, that's what I want to have. And then they see all these social media platforms, right? And it's like, oh, I got to be on TikTok and Instagram and, you know, Facebook and blah, 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 or podcasters. And what happens is they start doing all of this stuff and they bounce off the wall. They bounce off the wall. And the reason they bounce off of the wall is actually because a principle we wrote about in my first book, Take the Stairs, which is that if you have diluted focus, you get diluted results. If you have diluted focus, you get diluted results. The key, the way to break through the wall is to find your uniqueness and figure out what is the one thing you can be known for that you're truly could be one of the best in the world at this one thing. And you become known for that thing. And that is how you break through the wall. Right. And then once you're on the other side of the wall, you can expand, you know, into other things or change directions. Because even though Gary Vaynerchuk talks about everything today, and Tony Robbins, you know, Tony Robbins has relationships. He's got, you know, business, he's got wealth, he's got health. His new book is on health, but Gary Vaynerchuk in the beginning talked about one thing, wine. One thing, wine. And he did it on one platform. People think it was Twitter, but it wasn't. It was YouTube. Yep. He had winelibrary.tv, and then he moved to Twitter after he broke through the wall. And that's sort of like one of the places that he blew up. But people struggle to know what is your uniqueness. What is the thing that you can do that nobody else can do? What's your uncopyable difference? What is innately wired into your DNA? And we just happen to have figured out as humbly as I can say, a really effective process for helping people figure it out. And it's less of like, here's a, you know, like a, you know, a playbook that everybody must follow. And it's more customized to like go through this process and figure out what is the secret for you.
Right. Which is, again, it's counterintuitive because people think oftentimes the more things you can speak about or the more people you can speak to, the more opportunities that you'll have, which is not at all what people are looking for. And so one thing we always say is you want to be the steakhouse, not the buffet. You know, so if we're going to lunch today and we're looking for a good steak, like we could go to a buffet where steak is one of 100 things that they offer, or we could go to a steakhouse where they do one thing, but they do that one thing really, really, really well. And so, but again, the default for most people is, yeah, but I don't want to limit myself to just talking about wine when I'm also interested in crypto or NFTs or business or marketing or parenting or relationships, and on the list goes. And so again, I know that you go over this in depth over a couple of days, but like high level, walk us through how does someone start to like narrow down and go from being the buffet to being this steakhouse?
Yeah. So it's very simple. It's not easy. So I mentioned there's, you know, six questions of, you know, effectively to this. I'll tell you the first one. Okay. The genesis of a personal brand, right? When people come to me and they go, how do I become the next Ed Milet? How do I become the next Lewis Howes? The next, like, whatever. I say, we have a sequence. It is a step-by-step methodical process. And the first step is by answering one question in one word. But it's extraordinarily difficult. Here's the question. What problem do you solve? In one word. What problem do you solve? In one word. And people trip all over themselves to answer this question because it's not easy. It's difficult. I mean, look, we've done this now with over 600 clients. Like, we know it's not easy. But if you can't nail this, everything's going to break down along the way because there won't be clarity.
Yep.
And here's the thing. The reason this matters is because people buy solutions to problems. They buy solutions to problems. We think that people spend money. Like when we think of money, we think of luxuries like, ooh, I want to buy a nice house or a vacation or a car. But in reality, people only spend money on luxuries if they have it available or if they're completely irresponsible. But if there's a problem, if our kid gets sick, man, we find the money. If we get a flat tire, we find the money. Water heater breaks, we find the money. Like, people pay money to solve problems. So the question is, are you just a random voice among a sea of noise talking about random things, or are you speaking with a level of precision and clarity that cuts through the way that you would ping a glass in a room full of people that goes, if you have this problem, I'm your person. And everybody around you says, oh, if you have that problem, you know, Rory is your guy or Grant is your guy or whatever. And you go like, this is it. And there's some really great recent examples of this. One of my favorites is Brené Brown, right? Like if you go, what do you speak on? Well, I'm a leadership speaker. Well, you and everybody else. But you want to know who the highest paid leadership speaker in the world is right now? It's Brené Brown. And Brené Brown doesn't even talk on leadership. What does Brené Brown talk about? Brené Brown spent her entire life dedicated to solving one problem: shame. Shame. She was a researcher. She studied shame. She dedicated her life to understanding shame, exploring shame, analyzing shame, helping people who had shame, trying to help them get past shame. Why is shame there? What do we do about shame? And she figured out a one-word solution, which is vulnerability, mm-hmm. right? And Brené Brown rapidly became one of the most influential people in the world. It's not just Brené Brown. Another friend of mine right down the street, not a client, but a friend. I've spoken at his events, is Dave Ramsey. Dave Ramsey, for 30 years, has dedicated his entire life to solving one problem: debt. Debt. That is it. That he, for 3 hours a day, every day for 30 years, Grant, he has said the same thing over and over and over and over again, 7 baby steps. And it's brilliant. That's how I got to know Dave. He changed my life. Like, yep. Long before we were friends, he was a mentor. Long before that, I was just a fan. Like, and he has a multi 9-figure company, y'all. Like, that means hundreds of millions built around helping people get debt free. That one thing, debt free. And that is what they have done. Tony Robbins dedicated his life to solving pain, pain and suffering, as he describes it, but it's pain. Mel Robbins, if you watch closely, her whole personal brand is helping people with anxiety. They have anxiety, right? It's a very specific type of fear. And she talks about her panic attacks and, the whole 5-second rule. One of the things that we did with Lewis was we didn't do the work of helping Lewis be successful. First of all, Lewis was already a rolling stone by the time we started working with him, but he gives us a lot of credit because, you know, it took him however many years, 8 years to go from zero to 30 million downloads. But in the last couple of years, since we've been working with him and his team, he's gone from 30 million downloads to 500 million downloads. And part of that was what he gives us credit for, which is more than we deserve. But we helped him figure out what is the one problem he should solve and what is the one business model he should focus on. When we started working with him, he had 17 business models. To his credit, you know, per our recommendation, he systematically reduced them down to three. He used to talk about all sorts of stuff. Now he frames his personal brand through the lens of self-doubt. He's helping people who are struggling with self-doubt. Like my personal brand, so I broke through the wall with Take the Stairs on procrastination. Procrastination was the problem that the Take the Stairs book solved. And we did national research study on it and we were exploring it. And then I invented the three types of procrastination. So classic procrastination, which everybody was aware of, but I invented the term creative avoidance, which is unconscious procrastination, and then priority dilution, which is the chronic overachiever's procrastination. So creative avoidance is basically distraction. It's unconsciously filling the day with trivial stuff. But then priority dilution, people were fascinated about because it was the chronic overachievers. And that is basically interruption. Right. But it's the same net effect as classic procrastination, which is that they allow their day to be interrupted. And so at the end of the day, their most significant priorities are left incomplete. And so then my first book was about procrastination, but then there was a large draw towards priority dilution. And so my second book and my TED talk on how to multiply time was really about interruption, which was just even a more narrow form of procrastination. Brand Builders Group today, we solve one problem, obscurity. That's what we help people with. We help mission-driven messengers to become more well-known. We help experts to build and monetize their personal brand. So speaking is a part of it. It's a small part of it. Book launches are a part of it. It's a small part of it. Social media, podcasting, funnels, copywriting, websites, but most of all, you know, building your sales team, your infrastructure, cash flow, everything we do, those are all small parts of it. But the core, like the first thing is your uniqueness. If you don't nail that, and that starts by being like, what problem do you solve in one word? And it's difficult. And, you know, so that's where the journey starts for everybody we work with.
Do you think people are able to identify that on their own? Meaning that
no.
It's really hard to read the label from inside the jar. And so what seems like nothing and no big deal to me, maybe someone else may be like, how do you do that? Like that is your uniqueness. So do you feel like people can accomplish this in isolation?
No, I mean, like I can barely do it for myself in isolation. And like, you know, my wife and I, we developed the whole methodology for this. We've done it with 600 people. Like it doesn't work because your uniqueness is something you're so close to. It's your innate superpower. It is your God-given design. It is your supernatural ability, which lives inside of you in such a way that you don't notice it. So it takes a process and it takes people around you to be able to see it. And it did for me. The thing for me was it took me 10 freaking years to figure out procrastination was the problem I solved. I started when I was 17. We figured it out when I was 27. 2 years later, I was a number two New York Times bestselling author. Like it took forever. So at Brand Builders Group, you know, this is, and this is why Grant, is why we do one-on-one coaching. We don't do video courses and we don't really do like membership sites and we don't even really do like we have events, but they're not large events. We do one-on-one, even our events, there's one-on-one coaching with everybody there. Yeah. Like it's because it's very personalized. It's very like, you know, it's very unique, you know, and by the way, if anyone wants, we do a free call. If you go to freecall.rorivaden.com. So freecall.rorivaden.com, we do the first call with everybody for free, just because we'll even help them see this. And then we sort of map out what the journey is and we help them figure out like, hey, based on the vision you're wanting and not, you know, depending on how big it is, we'll tell you like, these are the steps, like this is exactly how to get there. And even though a lot of people know us, you know, we have some pretty recognizable clients. Most of the clients we work with are not the Ed Milettes and the Tom and Lisa Billews of the world. I mean, that's a small 5% of our audience. Most of them are honestly accountants, doctors, lawyers, coaches, consultants. Like they're not people with millions of followers. They're people who just want to like speak more or they really want to build their practice. And they're just using their personal brand as like a marketing mechanism to drive awareness to their, you know, to their existing business, whether it's a service business or whether, you know, of course, information products, like we do a lot of that, but it's, you know, it's really trying to bottle it up. So yeah, it's very difficult to do by yourself.
Yeah. So to wrap up here and just kind of put a bow on things, I know there's a lot more we could cover. I want to be respectful of time here, but for someone who is kind of in those early stages and is trying to figure out what that uniqueness is for them, what's a possible next step that they should take?
Well, yeah. So, I mean, I would say request a call with our team. You know, I mentioned that freecall.rorivaden.com. You can request a call. The other thing is I would spend time. I'm going to give you the shortcut. We're wrapping up. We got a couple of minutes.
Yeah. Fire away.
Okay. I'll give you the shortcut because I can tell you, because this is how we train our internal strategists. By the way, if you would have asked me the question, what is the thing you know today that you didn't know when you started Brand Builders Group a few years ago? Mm-hmm. This would also be my answer. And here's what we have realized after doing this hundreds of times. And we're now very, very confident that this is true. You are always most powerfully positioned to serve the person you once were. You're most powerfully positioned to serve the person you once were. So when we train our strategists and our content licensees, so we also certify people to like do this for other people.
Yep.
This is what we teach them. Is we teach them, we go, we have to look back through the thread of their life and we simply say, what obstacle have you overcome? What setback have you survived? What challenge have you conquered? That, whatever that is our greatest hint. It is our shortest path to finding your uniqueness, because that is the thing. You're most powerfully positioned to serve the person you once were. You're most specifically equipped to help someone get through a problem that you have already walked past,
right?
Like, that's the greatest shortcut. So that's, you know, I would say that's what I would spend time thinking about, because it's very specific. There's something about social media that makes people go, you know, I need to talk about like leadership or like, you know, communication or some very broad thing to like the world. And you go, remember Brené Brown, like talk about the one thing that you've studied, you dedicated your life to, you've lived. What do you have results in? And you know, ironically, like what we're doing now is so fun because all we do is, you know, it's basically like 17-year-old Rory who had this like dream, like, I want to be a speaker and I want to write books. I just want to help people. But I had no idea what that path was. That's what we do. And, you know, speaking was an initial part of that. And now it's, you know, much more broad, I would say. And it's very specific to personal brands, but it's, what a CMO is to a company is what we are to a personal brand. So we're guiding this arc all centered in their uniqueness. And that's the trick. The only other last little thing I will say, Grant, is the other thing is you should do is you should listen to your calling. Like if you're listening to this podcast, you probably have a calling. That's why you're here in the first place. And you probably think, you think it's a matter of yourself. Like, should I listen to this or should I not? Do I have time for this or do I not? And I'll tell you what we believe after having done this for so long. We believe that the calling on your heart is the result of a signal that's being sent out by someone else who needs you. Mm. And that person actually needs you way more than you need them. Like you think everybody has that calling or it's no big deal. Or like you think whether or not you pay attention to it is just a matter of self. Like, I don't know if I have time or I don't know if I'm good enough or smart enough or like, yeah, it seems interesting, but we believe that that is not something that everybody hears because we've done this hundreds of times. And we know from working with people that the specificity of their calling, the specificity of the type of people they can help is so narrow that the reason that you're feeling it is because there's so few people in the world who can truly do what you know how to do. There's so few people who have walked the exact path that you have walked, that have overcome the problems that you have overcome. And so there is somebody out there right now who is looking for questions to answers that you know off the top of your head. They're trying to find a path that you already walked 100 times. Like, they could be on their hands and knees in this very moment, praying desperately to God for an answer that you can show up and just hand to them on a silver platter. And when we don't listen to the calling, it's because we're not thinking about that person and we're instead focused on ourselves. And that's when fear shows up. And fear is so self-centered because we think, I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. Somebody else has already done this. Like, somebody else already did this. You know, somebody else is in my space. Like, but there is no fear when the mission to serve is clear. There is no fear when you're realizing and going, no, somebody else out there is signaling me. Like, somebody else out there needs me, and you have to find them.
That'll preach. Come on now. Let's go. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hey, that's great stuff, man. And again, there's a lot more I'm sure we could talk about and I'd be interested in asking you about. But if people want to find out more about you and check out what you're up to, both with Brand Builders Group, but also with your personal brand, where can we go?
Yeah, I mean, I would just say go to freecall.rorivaden.com. That'd be the first thing. That's where you learn about Brand Builders Group. Other than that, I would just go to rorivaden.com, you know, and you can, I have a master's degree worth of free content available there, broken up by categories and very specific things, that you might be interested in. So, you know, thanks for having me, Grant. And man, it's awesome to see you doing what you're doing and just to reconnect. And you're doing a great thing, man. So I appreciate so much the privilege of talking to your people. And thanks for having me.
Thanks for hanging out with us, man. We appreciate it. Hey, friend, are you ready to get serious about taking your speaking business to the next level? Maybe you are someone who is looking for ways to book more paid gigs, or maybe you're trying to figure out all the different things that go into building a successful speaking business. Or perhaps you are an experienced speaker who wants to scale your speaking business to multiple six figures. If that's you, I'd encourage you to visit thespeakerlab.com/call. Again, thespeakerlab.com/call and book a free, no obligation call with our team. And if you're not quite ready to take that leap, I don't want you to hesitate in checking out all the free resources that we have available to you on our website, including this podcast. So head over to thespeakerlab.com. Again, thespeakerlab.com. Find hundreds of blog posts, how-to guides, podcast episodes, email scripts, proposal templates, and so much more. Finally, I got a big favor. I would love for you to leave us a rating or review for this podcast. We read every single one, and it also helps other speakers find valuable free resources that they can use to build their own speaking careers. As always, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.